For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It is Masters Week. We're going to talk Chipolytics and the Masters with Chip Patterson, but we have college football first, or college football-related things first, as Chip Patterson joins us on the Adam Gold Show. Chip, you can tell from, because you're on video, you can't see it right now, but I have azaleas next to me because it is Masters Week.
Were those, okay, hold on, can we get those back again? Let's go back on full screen, Graham, because those are those blooming azaleas?
Or no, only one of them has bloomed.
I was going to say, I see a lot of green.
There's a lot of green. Because Augusta was not sure that it would be timed right, so they iced them. Like they control the azaleas down at Augusta National Golf Club.
There's a floral on Wyndham Clark's shirt during the practice round. I don't know if you got to look at
that. Oh, I did. I saw him in the press conference yesterday. It was gorgeous. It was better than Jordan Spieth's shirt.
It was something else. Listen, we're fired up to hear those tickling piano keys. You know, the greatest thing that might happen to the Cover 3 podcast is for morning thunderstorms on Thursday, because every single year we talk about that Thursday show as the most distracted show of an entire season.
All four of you guys watching the Masters at the same time?
All four of us are sitting here. We're answering mailbag questions. And then all of a sudden, one person who's watching on actual cable goes, "Scotty!" Then somebody else watching on a stream goes, "Scotty!" And just, we get a cascading responses to the early wave of the Masters. So if there's thunderstorms and the play is delayed, will some be frustrated? Yes. But will the Cover 3 listeners get a more focused podcast? Probably.
All right, Chip Patterson, let's dig into some things. This happened, I guess it was Thursday when I was out at the Final Four. So we talked Wednesday, and then I saw the story on Thursday. So this is new for us, even though the story dropped last week. The Athletic did a story about, and I know you wrote about it too, mm-hmm. College sports tomorrow. So I have a lot of questions about their format, and I'll get into it in a little bit. I'll broad brush it. Roughly 80 schools made up of the entirety of what we think today, at least this past year, was the Power Five, plus Notre Dame and SMU for some reason. Whatever. Not going to get into it. Plus,
buddy, if they can buy their way into the ACC with 9 years of not taking a check,
I'm with you. I understand.
You've got more dedication than a lot of Power Five programs.
It's just kind of random that they went, as opposed to like San Diego State. I get different, tax bracket, but just random. And then of the group of five, the two teams essentially that played for the conference championship of those five leagues would be in a separate division, but it would, the winner of that division would go to the college football playoff, the college sports tomorrow, college football playoff. Who among college football's real power brokers would be in any way, shape, or form interested in this?
None.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, there's like two conversations. There's, hey, let's have fun talking about the format, which is message board talk.
Yes.
Which is like barroom banter. And then there's Outlook. And that was why, like, my editor called me the night it dropped. I think it was a Wednesday night. He said, "Hey, man, like, we don't think this is serious, but we need to acknowledge it.
Right.
Can you write on this and respectfully tell people why it's not serious and why, you know, like,
right.
we need to be able to recognize that." For example, number one deputy, like one of the high executives in the NFL office, is a part of this 20-person working group. That it is the university presidents or chancellors at West Virginia and Syracuse. That you've got a former executive from Major League Soccer. And what it is, and I know that, like, you know, you're familiar, you speak politics, but it's a think tank.
Yeah.
This was a report that was put together by a think tank. Then they circulated it among administrators. And I was so amused that the reporting from The Athletic made it so clear that Greg Sankey and Tony Petitti were not a part of this.
Right.
And had not sat down with them to meet.
Nor had Brett Yormark.
Listen, if we're talking about the future of high-level college athletics, if it don't have Sankey and if it don't have Petitti, then it doesn't have any real firepower right,
right.
now.
Why did Jim Phillips, the ACC commissioner, why did he meet with them, and how does that damage his public persona among other college commissioners?
I can't speak for other administrators, but I saw this as a no bad ideas proposal. And you know who needs to listen to no bad ideas? Jim Phillips.
I agree. Okay.
And look, and they did say they had a sit down in February. There has not been any follow up.
Okay.
Right?
I sent you some of the stuff I wanted to hit on. When I read it and I laughed, what good is promotion relegation if 87.5% of the teams involved are not in danger of being relegated? The only schools that could be relegated are the five who were are the 10 who were promoted. What on earth are we doing?
I think you're just pandering. The idea of promotion and relegation has been mentioned in conference realignment for 10 years. You know, like
right.
It is a fan idea. It is not an administrator idea.
Of course not.
I felt like that was included just to pander to, you know, get anybody on board, maybe to get a university president. The thing that stood out to me was offering true stake and ownership in the system to the universities. I said, that's how you get some of these university presidents involved, because we know university presidents will squeeze every last penny out of college sports that's possible.
What they're doing.
Yep. As they are facing the enrollment cliff of 2026 and a financial crisis across all of higher education. So maybe with this idea of an ownership stake in the system, rather than being a member of the system, that's how they were going to do it. But you just can't step up and be like, all right, we are going to replace the college football playoff. We are going to replace the NCAA. And then just kind of yada yada things away. Like, and don't worry, because we'll handle NIL and transfer portal and collective bargaining. I said, oh, okay. And how? With what plans?
Right.
And that, look, it could be in the plans that weren't reported on. The timeline is interesting to me because, like, what happens so often in my experience in college sports, but probably also elsewhere in big business, is that we don't hear the details of the plan until the plan has failed. That they circulated. Seriously. They circulated this, and then you know what all these university presidents and conference commissioners did? Signed a 6-year extension to the college football playoff. So after they signed the 6-year extension of the college football playoff, congratulations, CST. Earliest you're getting in the door is 2031. Like, I think that we heard about it because they tried to convince everybody who mattered. Everybody who mattered said no and moved on with their original plan. And now we get to hear the details of the failed plan.
All right, I'm gonna just make a quick comment about this, and then we're gonna go on real quick to Clemson and Florida State versus the ACC. And then I want Chip Olynyk. So we're going to be quick in both of these. I'm amazed. This is just a statement. I am amazed that otherwise intelligent people thought that any of the power brokers gave a damn about being fair. It is amazing to me that smart people got in a room and thought, yeah, let's do something that's fair for all. Although the money was tipped higher in towards the power brokers anyway, but still, they have no interest in being fair. They have proven that over time. All right, so now to the jurisdiction matter between Florida State and the ACC, Clemson and the ACC. I know I'm crazy. You and I may have talked about it. We're not talking about politics here. We're talking about finances and contracts. I think you could settle this case in Mike Norvell's office with two attorneys. To me, there's no real case for Florida State or Clemson. I don't care where the court case is heard. I just don't think and if you get a bad ruling, we're just going to appeal it up, and you'll eventually get the right ruling, which is you signed the deal willingly. You took the money. Am I crazy?
I don't know. I'm distrustful of everyone involved.
That's fair.
Our dumb sports brains, 1 week. ACC wins in court. Yeah. Throw it on the scoreboard. The next week, war chant. Florida State, legal, win. Winners and losers. Like, it's not that cut and dry.
Right.
This is the legal system. The outcome is going to have both sides mad.
Oh, sure. I still think the ACC is doomed.
Fair outcomes of these kinds of things drag on forever and end with no one happy. So the key, the only takeaway that I, number one, Clemson's behind schedule. Like Clemson is, they Florida State actually got on it and got this process rolling
right
to the point where they are probably closer to a resolution. Clemson's best chance of being able to have any kind of resolution is something that's like much larger and broader and seismic happening within the Atlantic Coast Conference. The fact that there was the judge who, you know, was mentioning mediation, I feel like judges in North Carolina and Florida are going to start being like this, like, guys, I have serious things to do today.
Right.
Can you guys just go figure this out? Like this.
That's
this
a loss for the ACC.
You're being a baby.
That's okay? The loss.
And you over here, this is getting ridiculous. Like I'm distrustful of every bit of reporting from this. I am distrustful of all of the judges and the attorneys. I'm ready to get to an end.
Billable hours. That's the big winner, as always. Yeah. All right, let's get to the Chipolytics. Tiger Woods gonna win his sixth green jacket, right?
No, but Chipolytics. I'll tell you what, the Chipolytics are just hoping for Tiger cut sweats.
You can't. How do you even have Chipolytics on Woods? They can't be even good to make the cut.
What? I'm saying the this is factoring in the interest, you know.
Right.
Always got my mind on just the general vibe. You want to have everybody locked in to see if we can be able to get them on the right side of that cut and be able to get them to the weekend. Tiger in the weekend is a great thing.
Yeah, but he's not even going to finish. He didn't finish last year.
I know.
He didn't finish the PGA. He didn't finish Riviera. He hasn't completed a 72-hole event in more than a year and a half.
Tiger Woods said this year, I ache every day.
Yeah.
For those of us who ache every day, we just want to see him finish.
I want people. I'm not like hating on Tiger Woods. I want him to play four rounds on television. I want him on my, like, I'm not under any illusions that if I want to watch Tiger Woods on television on Saturday, it's going to be at masters.com because he's going to be featured group because he's going to be like the first or second group off. He might be playing with one of those playing markers, so he's not playing by himself. I don't anticipate very much from him. So I have a couple of odds real quick, and then we'll get to the Chipolytics and the tournament. Birdie or better on the first hole is plus 800.
For Tiger?
Yeah, for Tiger.
Oh, pass.
Yeah, exactly. What are you talking? Like, why am I giving you the money? I mean, it's like, no chance. I mean, if I dropped it to par or better at plus 200, would you take it?
Oh, par the first? Yeah.
He's going to bogey the first. Par or better through three holes is even money.
Ugh. I don't like these odds. These odds are bad vibes. Remember, vibes are a big part of Chipolytics. Like since we have gone legal here now almost a month,
right.
I have cashed out a golf pick because I didn't like the vibes of it.
Really?
You know? Yeah. I was sitting on a Denny McCarthy outright and I just didn't want to, I wanted it for Akshay, right? My emotions had gotten in and my cash out had gotten so that I doubled, you know, like it wasn't the full payout of if McCarthy had won. So I didn't, but I was just like, my heart's not in this. I don't want him to melt down right here and miss out on the opportunity to log this win, get into the Masters. And so I was appreciative of our you know, legalized environment that allowed me to just be like, you know what? We're profitable here. Let's cash this McCarthy ticket and let's step away. And so when he threw his shoulder out doing a fist pump, I was not financially invested in that moment.
Oh, that's look, how were you when McCarthy was making eight birdies on the back?
Well, I was in a great spot because I saw that cash out value going up. you know?
Oh, started, okay, I see.
Like, yeah, yeah, you're just sitting there, you're watching it, and you're like, yeah. And some people I know hate on the cash out, but for golf especially,
oh, yeah.
Sometimes you got to know when to just be able to call it. So
yeah, by the way, I mean, Akshay tees off at 12:24 tomorrow. Another local guy from Leesville Road, Grayson Murray, tees off at 11:06. Murray's had a little bit of a resurgence here. He's a hell of a player. They're playing in groups that not necessarily worth your featured grouping.
Featured groups, which you can watch on Paramount Plus.
There you go. Bogey-free round for Tiger, +900. Any round, bogey-free, +900.
No, that's not the way he plays. He's going to have like three birdies, three bogeys.
Yeah.
Three birdies, five bogeys, two over.
That's as bad a bet as +800 for birdie or better on the opening hole. A hole in one is plus, I believe, 10,000. That's actually, I kind of like that better. I kind of like hole in one better.
I mean, obviously, I like that better. And as somebody who just whimpered away the fact that we had zero buzzer beaters in the NCAA tournament.
That's right. None.
Zero.
None.
Saw that one just flitter away on Monday night. Goodbye. Will there be a buzzer beater? Yes. Absolutely. It's March Madness. Come on.
It was before legal wagering, so I was just doing it for fun. I had a 16th hole-in-one at Phoenix that nobody really came close to. All right, so who do the Chipolitics like to win this Masters, Chip Patterson?
So I think that Brooks is in a really good spot right now.
I just happen to have written him down.
I think that Brooks Koepka, who was up on the mic, and he was saying some things that spoke to me.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
He was talking about patience, things that he's learned as a father.
He's been a father for how, what, like a minute?
Well, I mean, it was enough that he got his little boy out there at Miami to watch him stink it up. But, you know,
he hated that golf course so much. He could not have been talking less glowingly about it.
He talked about the lessons that he learned from last year. You know, I think that there's, you know, the comments of, you know, what does it mean to you to be tied with these people for five majors? And his response is, I don't know, but I know that there's 19 ahead of me on that list.
Yeah, there's not 19. He's obviously eliminating some. There's not 19 ahead of him. He must be including the guys at five and then kicking out some of the old guys like Harry Vartan. But
that's somebody who plans on winning more major championships.
Oh, yeah.
In terms of a little bit longer shots, like ones who I'm looking at to just, you know, filling out a fantasy lineup or, you know, anything else. I like Shane Lowry. I like Hideki Matsuyama. I think that Siwoo's had a really good spring and is trending in the right direction.
Yes, he has.
So those are going to be some. Obviously, like I'm going to go down with the ship. Xander's so good. I just at some point it's got
to
happen.
+1400 to win for Xander. +2000 for Brooks Koepka. Give me a first round leader.
Oh, Akshay.
Really?
What? Why not? I mean, like,
even with his shoulder.
First round lead. Let's see. I'm not good at first. Are you good at first round leaders?
No, I'm terrible at all of this.
Okay.
Nobody should ever take my advice ever.
I've got a colleague over at Sportsline, which is like our gambling outfit at CBS Sports. I'm on the early edge every Friday at 10 a.m. Sia Najad is very, very good at doing first round leaders.
Really?
He hits like four a year. And of course, you hit one first round leader, the odds payout is incredible.
Yes,
if you hit
is.
Four a year, you're making a lot of money. I don't have a good feel for that. Especially, I would not recommend first round leader this year at the Masters, unless of course, you know, I'm not going to yuck your yum. But we got thunderstorms coming on Thursday. The first round might not end till Friday morning.
That is true.
It's going to be a weird. It's going to be honestly, even on outrights. I was texting a buddy today. I said I might wait until we get everything lined up, like almost maybe even to the weekend, and then jump back in and be able to, you know, figure out who's who and what's what, because there are going to be significant advantages based on when your tee time is, when your waves are, how much golf can get done, how much golf is played in the rain, in the wind. all those things are going to make the first 2 days really, really wonky. So I'm very curious to see who ends up emerging out of it. But also, Yucky Golf goes back to my Shane Lowry. I think that's somebody who can plot around in adverse conditions.
I like it. And I like the twitching Denny McCarthy to be a first-round leader, or Joaquin Neiman. Neiman's plus 3,000. McCarthy is plus 6,000. Your Siwoo Kim, who I had written down as a potential contender here, plus 4,500 first-round leader. Somehow Tiger Woods is plus 6,000 to be the first-round leader. My assumption is he's the only player who finishes the first round. Everybody else, I don't know, leaves when Tiger Woods posts like a 4-under.
Oh, that's the path. Hey, tell me the game script for Tiger Woods as the first round leader.
Everyone else is gone. Let's let it go.
Yeah. He posts a 73. Everyone else walks off the course.
Actually, there's an interesting bet, and I'll leave you on this, is that you could bet that he goes 74-73, which is a repeat of last year. Right? You could bet that. Or you could bet 73-72 at FanDuel. America's number one sportsbook, I'm told. Chip Patterson, you're the best, as always, my friend. Talk to you next week. Is your pick Brooks?
Yeah, my pick's Brooks.
I think that's the right pick, to be honest. All right, sir. Talk to you next week.
Sounds good. Y'all be well.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.